Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Thursday, November 13th. Coming up, the College of Media at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is installing new leadership at Illinois Public Media. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. An Illinois congressman is a member of the U.S. House committee that released emails yesterday from convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Mawa Iqbal reports.
The three emails mention Donald Trump. One from Epstein calls the president a, quote, dog that hasn't barked, and says Trump spent hours at Epstein's house with one of the alleged sex trafficking victims. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy says the public deserves more answers.
What's astonishing is when you see the emails in their native format, and just how casual, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell are talking about Trump. It feels like it's almost a very familiar topic to them.
Krishnamurthy is running in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate against Congresswoman Robin Kelly, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, and others. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A new type of fencing is gaining traction with ranchers and conservationists. Virtual fencing uses GPS collars, sounds, and electrical cues to move cattle across a landscape and keep them out of sensitive areas, like stream banks and nesting ground for prairie chickens. William Burnridge is with the Nature Conservancy's North America Regenerative Grazing Lands Program. He says this new technology provides unprecedented flexibility and precision for cattle grazing and grassland management.
Virtual fence does not replace the human being in the ranching operation. It is a tool for ranchers to use, but it still requires wisdom and knowledge and experience and good decision making.
The Nature Conservancy has worked on projects in half a dozen states, including Kansas and Iowa, to better understand how virtual fencing can support ranchers, wildlife, and water quality. Thanksgiving is near, and wholesale turkey prices are projected to be higher than last year. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval explains why.
The retail price of wholesale turkeys this year could be around $2 a pound, according to a new Purdue University study. Caitlin Hubble was one of the paper's authors. She says it's typical for prices to grow around the holiday season.
But also right now we're seeing higher feed costs, right? So grain prices are low and feed for all animals, not just poultry, is higher.
Hubble says those high prices are partly due to tariffs the Trump administration imposed on vitamins, minerals, and other animal feed ingredients. Bigger turkey populations could mitigate price increases. However, bird flu has already killed over 3 million commercial fowl this year. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. The number 14-ranked Fighting Illini men's basketball hosted number 11-ranked Texas Tech on Tuesday night at State Farm Center. IPM's Jonathan Matthew has more.
Illinois beat Texas Tech 81-77 in a back-and-forth battle. The Illini were able to enter halftime with a 13-point lead, but the Raiders quickly erased the lead with scoring 9 straight points and regained the lead in the second half. As the game started to come to an end, Andre Stojakovic led Illinois to the win with 23 points and the game-sealing block. After the game, head coach Brad Underwood praised Stojakovic's performance.
It's nice to see that, you know, in a really small sample size kind of work out. We'll see as the season goes, but great human being, great kid, works really hard. He's done everything that we've asked for, and we'll see how that keeps materializing.
Illinois improves to 3-0 on the season and will be back in State Farm Center to go up against Colgate University at Friday at 8 p.m. I'm Jonathan Matthew, IPM News.
Still to come, the College of Media at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is installing new leadership at Illinois Public Media. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 62 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 39 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 70 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 54 degrees. Southwest wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high of 73 degrees, with a southwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, air travel is under immense pressure because of the long government shutdown, with thousands of flights canceled in the last week. We'll talk about what you need to know ahead of the upcoming Thanksgiving travel season. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 in 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Moss Bresnahan has led Illinois public media for over a decade. He recently was a vocal opponent of Congress cutting federal money for PBS and NPR this summer. This week, the College of Media at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign announced by email that the dean was removing him from his leadership role at the public radio and TV station. Bresnahan will become the special advisor to the dean on public media at the college and no longer be on the IPM payroll. The college promoted two longtime IPM leaders to share the executive director role starting this Sunday. The College of Media dean declined an interview and said the university does not comment publicly on personnel matters. IPM's Emily Hayes interviewed Bresnahan about his removal from the station.
How did this decision happen? How much were you involved in making this decision to leave?
You know, Illinois Public Media is part of the College of Media. And so the dean there is entitled to have ideas on its future. So I'll hear more about that soon. But I guess, you know, I just respect her position as the dean and where we are in the organization. And so now I'm looking forward to my new role.
When did you hear about this decision?
I heard about it, I don't know the date, about 2 weeks ago, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Do you think this is kind of a money-saving measure, cutting the person with the highest salary at the organization?
You'd have to ask the college, you know, if that was their motivation. That's not anything that I'm aware of.
So you have opposed more layoffs at IPM beyond the two we've announced. Why is that?
For context, I don't think I'd say I oppose them. I think with the cuts to CPB, we certainly had to make a lot of difficult decisions. We eliminated a number of open positions and had to introduce a reduction in workforce. We had to cut back on a lot of our part-time staff and some of our programs. So I think we're in a pretty good place considering, but you know, we don't know what the future will bring. But overall, I think given our budget and where we are with our fundraising, I think the station is in good financial condition.
Have you been getting pressure to do more layoffs than what's happened from the College of Media?
No, not. We've had ongoing discussions about budgets, but I wouldn't say there's been pressure.
So what reason were you given for the change?
You know, because the station is operating very well, and, you know, viewership is strong, the programming is strong. I think primarily it has to do with just a difference in vision, and that happens all the time. So I look forward to working in the college in my new capacity and helping out in any way I can.
What exactly is this new position? Was it created for you?
I believe yes, it is a new position. You know, after 30 years at various, you know, PBS and NPR stations, I think it's an interesting opportunity to do some research and study on public media, on public media's future. To interest students in becoming public media professionals of the future. So, and I hope to continue to assist Illinois public media in any way. So it is a new position, but I think it suits me well, and looking forward to doing my best in it.
You have served as executive director of Illinois Public Media for over a decade, since 2014. What are some of the accomplishments you are proudest of?
As the executive director, you know, one of my priorities is the good fiscal health of the station. It's always was always very important to me. So I'm very happy we've always had a balanced budget and our fundraising has grown from year to year. So very happy with the connections and we've made to the community in that way. And as much as I love PBS and NPR, I really love our local programming. You know, the 21st is my favorite public radio program, Prairie Fire. is my favorite TV program. I listen to IPM every morning. You know, State of Change was a new series I was able to help introduce. So overall, I think I'm really proud of the quality of the original content on Illinois Public Media. It's every bit as good as anything you'll find in St. Louis or Chicago. And I'd have to add the founding of the Illinois Student Newsroom might be among my favorites. It's just very, very encouraging to see, you know, the journalists of the future doing great work as students. And some of our students have gone on to great jobs and have won national awards. So that's very gratifying.
Thank you, Moss Bresnahan, for talking with me and for being our executive director for a decade.
My pleasure. Thanks, Emily.
As a disclaimer, no member of upper management or any news executive reviewed this story under IPM's internal reporting guidelines. That's it for today. 2 & 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Emily Hayes, Rachel Kramer, Jonathan Matthew, and Tadea Ruiz Sandoval. Music by the Kilbornelli Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 & 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.